As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This is Issues 2022. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is journalist, musician, and author Joe Stump. Hey, welcome to Issues 2022, Joe. Nice to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Steve.
Let's begin, if we can, with a little background. Where are you from, and when and how did you arrive in Wichita?
I'm originally from Alton, Illinois, which is a little town across the river from St. Louis. And I've been a newspaper business a long time. I worked for papers in Texarkana, Tulsa, and Little Rock before moving to Wichita in 2000.
And what, University of Missouri and the journalism school there?
Yep, that's the place.
Gosh, how many people do I know that got into journalism that went through that school? Must be a pretty good school for journalism then, huh?
It was. It was a great school. I wish I'd applied myself a little bit more when I was there, but it gave me at least the basics, which is great.
Yeah. Hey, what were your duties at the Wichita Eagle?
I came to the Wichita Eagle as their food editor. That was kind of my full-time job, and I also worked as a news editor on weekends. I was sort of in charge of putting the paper out on like a Saturday or Sunday night.
Okay. So have you always had an interest in food? I mean, more than average, because everybody's interested.
I've always eaten. Yeah, I have. I cooked as a kid, and then I kind of gave it up until sometime, I think, in my late 20s, I started to realize, you know, it's kind of fun to do. And it's kind of, you know, I eventually thought, you know, maybe I can impress some chicks by cooking. And it worked. That's how I got my wife. So
really?
You know, yeah.
Well, I've been in the kitchen since I've been married quite a bit. And it does work with them. You know? Sometimes it seems if I cook a nice meal for her, it's better than even flowers. But
right, right. They appreciate the thought.
They do. Now, you are a musician. I want you, if you would, please tell us about your music. What instruments do you play?
Okay, well, primarily I play guitar and sing, but I can take it on a few other instruments like drums and piano. And I play a lot of gigs around town here, kind of both as a solo act at places like Newport Grill for dinner crowds, and then I also have a band called Fly By Night. And actually, we're playing the Cinco de Mayo party tomorrow at Mort's, if anybody's interested. We have learned a lot of Spanish just for the occasion.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, you know, Dos Equis.
Modelo.
<Carvo. laughs> Yeah.
So what, you answered a couple of my questions already. What kind of music do you and your band play?
Well, we play a pretty big variety, kind of try to read the crowd, see what they might like. But we probably, you know, play like a lot of rock and roll, some country. We have a kind of a jazz ensemble that we play out a few different places. And so it just kind of depends on the evening, the crowd, and the venue.
So any Barry?
I like a lot of types of music.
Any Barry Manilow? That
You know, that's one thing I don't have, but I'm not anti-Barry Manilow.
Have you ever done that, the gig at the Botanica? They've had, what was it, Tuesday nights or something?
Yeah, it's been a few years. But yeah, it's a fun gig, especially since I understand they've moved it out to their new grand lawn, and that's a really nice venue. We haven't played there yet, but I've seen it, and it is a really cool spot if people haven't seen it yet.
Have you, over the years, probably had some pretty interesting experiences in playing in different places. Anybody ever come up and give you a hard time, Joe?
Yeah, you know, there's always that guy who's in the back yelling, play Freebird. And just the other night, a very nice lady, she was very nice, and she was sitting right by our drummer, and she kept tipping us, but she also kept falling out of her chair into the tip jar. So eventually they had to escort her out. But, you know, it's just, she was just having a little too much fun.
So when you were a youngster, who influenced your music-wise? Who do you think were the best?
I think I was kind of drawn to, like, singer-songwriters, you know, just like Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen, guys like that. And then as I got a little bit older, I really got into, and was living down south, I really got into blues music, traditional Delta blues. And then, I love country music, like Johnny Cash and, you know, guys like that. So I guess singer-songwriters in general.
So, do you have I got it one piece at a time.
Boy. I mean, these are great, great story songs.
Oh, yeah.
One thing about country music, you know, like a Big River, Boy Named Sue. You know, Johnny's got Folsom Prison Blues. He's got 100 of them.
Well, he's one that I love too. I mean, I've got his CD in my car.
Hank Williams Sr., I mean, phenomenal. It's amazing how many songs he wrote, considering he died at, like, age 29.
Yeah. Hey, your resume says you are a caterer. So do you ever combine your music with your catering?
Occasionally I'll play a couple tunes. I'm more of a culinary instructor right now out at Mark Arts Center. But occasionally we'll do private parties out there, and somebody will ask me to play a few tunes. So I'll try to kind of gear them toward whatever style of food we're playing, whether it's Mexican or, you know, Spanish or Italian, something like that.
So the venues like that, but do you play weddings and those kinds of things too?
I played a few. I haven't played too many weddings. I've played more receptions than actual weddings.
You know, when it comes to being a caterer, I mean, what kind of food do you do when you cater somebody?
Well, it's just up to, you know, whatever they want, and whatever we can, the facilities will allow. You know, in other words, is there an on-site kitchen? Do I need to transport it across town? It really just kind of depends on what they want, how many of them they are, what their, you know, budget is, that sort of thing.
Well,
but I've done all sorts of events.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you next, where do you prepare your food? Do you actually have a permanent kitchen someplace, or are you not doing it out of your house, are you?
Every once in a while I'll do it out of the house, but that's kind of frowned upon. But the kitchen out at Mark Arts, where we do a lot of these, is a commercial kitchen, and so we can, you know, do whatever we want out there.
Do you have employees other than yourself in this business?
They hire somebody to help me out to sort of clean up after us. And actually, the person they use is a graduate of Butler's culinary program, so she knows a lot about food, too, and can help these classes and parties, private parties that we do out there.
How is that Butler?
How
is that Butler program? I've heard about it. It's a pretty good program.
I used to teach in it when it's on the move. Scott Redler, one of the founders of Freddy's, recently made a really generous donation to him. And so Butler's culinary program, which has been located in Wichita for all its entire history, is moving out to a new facility in Andover at the, I believe it's right at Andover and Ronan Kellogg, or very close to there. And it's going to be great. It's going to be, you know, like a state-of-the-art facility. And so I can't wait to see what happens with that. I'm no longer teaching with them, but I know that they're still putting out a lot of good students.
Go ahead.
And then I'll mention also there's going to be a rival program. WSU Tech is opening its own culinary program in downtown Wichita in the old Henry's Department Store.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to have a lot of trained chefs in this city all of a sudden.
Well, I imagine there's demand for that.
I think people, dining out is a main source of entertainment here and elsewhere.
Absolutely. How has the pandemic impacted your catering business, Joe?
Well, I've never done that much catering. I'm more like I say a culinary instructor, and the classes have restarted at Mark Arts. Restarted back in spring, and they've all sold out. You know, I think people were more than ready to get back out and be doing stuff. And these are hands-on classes that everybody kind of participates and takes part in. And like I said, they're all sold out. So, and they're actually expanding the kitchen this month out there, doubling it in size.
Wow.
Because of the demand.
Well, generally speaking, is catering a tough business? Very competitive? Cutthroat? What's it like?
Well, like I said, I don't really do that much catering per se. I'm more of the teaching classes.
Okay.
So I'm not on anything to do on the level of like a corporate catering like that. Mine are very, very small.
Well, let's talk about teaching then for just a second. Just talking to you, I took one of the most valuable classes I took in high school at Wichita West was a thing called Boys Foods. And it was, there were four guys to a table, and Miss Wren was the teacher, and she was a little tiny woman who put up with no guff from anybody. And I really thoroughly enjoyed that class, and I think we learned some very valuable life skills there. For somebody, it wasn't necessarily a boys thing growing up in the 50s and 60s, but hey, I loved it.
Right. I kind of wish I'd taken that. I did not take home ec in high school, although a few of my friends did. Back then, it was considered more of a girly thing, but I probably could have learned some stuff that I later learned through trial and error. And I just think cooking, a lot of times you can eat so much better and certainly cheaper at home than you can by going out. Not that restaurants aren't great,
sure.
But you can eat healthier. You can kind of cook exactly what you want. And it's a kind of a creative endeavor. And I just think there's a lot to be said for somebody who can cook, make for a happier life.
You're listening to Issues 2022 on the Odyssey Radio Stations. Our guest is Wichita journalist, musician, and author Joe Stump. And Joe, I want to turn now to the Active Age newspaper. You are the editor of Active Age. How long has Active Age been around?
Active Age has been around for about 43 years. And it's to tell you a little bit about it, it's a nonprofit newspaper. It was started on the campus of WSU, I guess, 43 years ago. It's kind of a joint project between the gerontology department and the local county department on aging. It moved to Friends for a decade. It spent a decade at WSU. It moved to the campus at Friends University for one decade. And then since 2000, it's been its own standalone nonprofit. And we're located over on West Street, right across from West Street Burgers, which most people know.
Do you know who actually started the paper? Who were the first people involved, the first editor?
Well, I did, but it's not on the tip of my tongue. But as I mentioned, it was some people with the gerontology department, some longtime journalists in town that had just retired were involved in it. And that's kind of in general who was involved.
Now, until just a few years ago, was it not called Active Aging newspaper?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. It was, and a lot of people still refer it to that way, but they changed the name about, I think, 10 years ago. And I believe they thought it would reflect more, sound less like a paper for, quote, old people than one that was for people who were aging but still active.
How'd you get involved with the paper then?
Well, I got involved. I was freelancing, writing an article or two for them every month for a few years. And then the lady who was the editor at the time, Fran Kentling, was a good friend of mine from our days at the Wichita Eagle.
Sure.
And she was ready to retire. And I surprised her by telling her I might be interested in it. And she never figured me for that. But she hired me to take over. And I like it even a lot more than I thought I would. And had a lot of help from her in the transition. And sadly, she got ill and quickly died about a year and a half after I took over. But she was a huge help. after, you know, going forward. And as I mentioned, we are a nonprofit, so I have a board of directors I answer to. And I don't know, I really enjoy the work.
How many people actually read the paper, and who are they?
Well, it's interesting. We right now have the biggest paper circulation of any newspaper in the state of Kansas. We distribute directly to 57,000 homes in Butler, Sedgwick, and Harvey counties. And then we distribute about another 3,000 on news racks around town. And so we have a substantial circulation, and it's geared primarily toward people who are 55 years and older, although we also do have subscribers who are more like caregivers of older people. So they might be adult children with a senior parent. And so our readership is primarily in Wichita, but we do have maybe 3,000 or 4,000 in both Butler and Harvey counties, and we're trying to expand out to those areas. And we have a very loyal readership. We are a nonprofit, but we primarily depend on advertising for our revenue, but we also accept donations. And last year, our readers donated nearly $100,000 to our paper.
Wow.
So that tells me that, you know, they do believe in our product and are happy to get it. And, you know, we're very grateful to them.
I don't recall subscribing to Active Age, but a few years ago it started showing up at my door.
That might have been before my time here, but we do at times, we try to use in stuff like voters' registration records, which are public records. We do try to identify people who may have reached 60 years older or something like that. And we'll start sending it to them. And if they don't want it, we'll obviously stop. But we rarely have anybody tell us they don't enjoy receiving it.
Well, I've seen a number of articles that I thought were very interesting. I really like it when you get into the local scene and what's been happening. I did something a while back on Tom Leahy that I just loved because I knew Tom and knew him well.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yes. The
Major Astro.
Major Astro, right.
Now, are you... Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, we've got one this month, I think, that people enjoy on a trio of local musicians who've been playing around town since the 60s. That's Dan Monnett, the well-known lawyer.
The lawyer.
Phil Snow and Doug Webb. These guys have been playing in bands since the 1960s. A couple of them, I think, are in the Kansas Music Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And they kind of started playing in one of their basements during the pandemic and then decided to take it on the road. So they will be out at making their public debut at Yaya's this month. Hmm. And we got an article on them.
How about that? Now, are you the only reporter or editor?
No, I am the only full-time editorial staff. We have a very small staff, three people. But I use a lot of good freelancers here in town. And, you know, I couldn't write it all myself, and so I'm happy to have them.
Is the paper a good advertising vehicle? By that I mean you are selling ads
right,
for revenue, but do you think the ads do reach people and they actually work?
I think they do, because the reason I think this is because we generally have the same advertisers every month and we're adding more.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have a large amount of repeat advertisers, and that also goes, we have a large amount of classified ads, which like certain other papers don't have too much of anymore. And those ads are full of ads for, you know, very small business people that do, say, home repairs, yard work, you know, things like that. And those people, some of those people have been advertising with us for 20 and 30 years.
Wow.
So it tells me that they get a return on their investment.
I want to talk about what you do in your spare time, and that's writing books. Tell me about your book, Wicked Wichita. What's that all about?
Right. Well, I'm a big history fan, and I got approached to do a book by a national publisher called Arcadia/History Press. And I really wasn't interested in that particular topic, but I knew enough about Wichita's early history that I thought a book about crime in early Wichita could be pretty entertaining. And so I pitched that to them, and they said, go for it. And so that book was published back in late 2018. And it's the story basically of Wichita's first 50 years, kind of told from the underground up. And it's got a lot of colorful characters in it. I think there's 18 or 19 chapters. And it starts out with what a lot of people know about Delano. But the main point of the book is that Wichita was a lot wilder and crazier than just what was happening in Delano back in the 1870s, that the sort of colorful characters and crime continued on a pretty wide scale all the way through the early 1920s.
Well, as someone who lived in Dodge City as a kid, I know that the wickedest town in America, they were for about, I don't know, maybe 5 years, and that was it. But it sounds like Wichita had a little shelf life for their wickedness then, huh?
Yeah, Wichita had exactly the same reputation, especially within the state of Kansas, but it often made national news back then for some of the things that went on here.
So was Wichita then any more wicked than other towns?
Well, it seems like it sort of was. At least that was the perception. I will just tell you this, that there's a database of Kansas newspapers that has really about every newspaper in Kansas that was published from pre-Civil War up to the 1920s. And you can go on there. It's got a search engine. So I went in there, and I put in the phrase Wicked Wichita, and I found out that it appeared in other papers around Kansas 200 times during the city's first 50 years. So that was the city's reputation as being a pretty much city on the – it's kind of on the frontier back then. People don't realize it, but Oklahoma wasn't even a state then.
That's right.
So we were on a frontier. We were the end of the railroad line for a while, and it's kind of an edge of Indian territory, and it was just a
place. Joe, I know there are a lot of people in New York who think we're still on the end of the world here.
You're probably right.
You have written Iconic Eats of Wichita. It's a surprising history, people, and recipes. What's surprising about Iconic Eats?
What I think is surprising about Iconic Eats is I think a lot of people, even longtime Wichitans, don't realize what a really good food town this is if you know where to look and you know the right people. And in particular, I believe our city has an amazing trio of ethnic cuisines that's hardly equal to anywhere that I've visited or lived in the United States. And those three are Lebanese cuisine, Vietnamese cuisine, and Mexican cuisine. Now, that's not the entire book by any means, but that's kind of the middle section of the book. I go into the historical accidents that brought these large populations of immigrants to the city, and then I, you know, detail their food ways, and I have a lot of recipes from great home cooks and restaurant cooks from those cuisines. So that's one surprising aspect of it, I think.
Okay. So how are the book sales going then?
They've gone really good.
Really?
Yeah, can't complain.
Those are the kind of books that, frankly, I have relatives who have in-laws who live in other places, and those are the kind of books that at Christmas time or something like that for stocking stuffers, those people who used to live here, they get a big kick out of those books.
Steve, I totally agree with you. Great stocking stuffer.
Yeah, okay. So writing a book, it seemed to me to be a pretty tough thing. It takes a lot of time, a lot of research. But do you enjoy that part of your life?
Well, most writers will tell you that they don't really enjoy writing, but they enjoy having written. So, you know, writing is a... it's a mental task. You have to put your mind to it. But once it's done, I get a feeling of accomplishment from it, and I hope people enjoy it.
Well, can you be satisfied with a page a day?
Yeah, well, there's many. I think I'm more of a streaky writer.
Oh, okay.
I will write much more than that. And then, honestly, as most writers will tell you, editing is a huge part of it.
Yeah.
You got to go back and realize where you've been not clear or silly or whatever, and kind of modify things.
Well, so much today is people who are they buy their books on a computer, and I like to have that book in my hand before I can put my bookmark in there when I get
right.
So, do you read a lot though? Do you have time to read other people's work?
I do. Yeah, I read a lot. I'm a big history fan. And it's kind of odd, but one of my favorite things to read is the Encyclopedia Britannica. I inherited the parents, one my parents bought way back in the 60s, one of those when people used to go door to door selling them. And this is like a massive 44 volume set. And it's just fascinating to me. It is truly a picture of the world.
Well, I appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Best of luck to you in the future. You're a busy guy. Our guest is Wichita journalist, musician, and author Joe Stupp. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2022. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.